Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Yikes. Five on the floor, ride for my dogs. Where here's the thing, you can check the score. Hustle hard, couple scars, wearing bubble frogs. Just like Buckley said, you in trouble, y'all. Kept the floor plan, got a all band. Y'all seen the block, stop with one hand. And Pat, we trust, it's power, have the guts. We here to bring the heat, y'all can hang it up.
Welcome to Five on the Floor, a daily insider show on the Miami Heat and the NBA, featuring Ethan Skolnick, Greg Sylvander, and Alex Toledo, plus others from the Five Reasons Sports Network.
Well, that was an emotional swing. Welcome to Five on the Floor live here on the Five Reasons YouTube channel. Here's today's floor plan. I'm Ethan Skolnick. You can follow me at Ethan J. Skolnick and at Five Reasons Sports. Got Brady Hawk. You can follow him at BradyHawk305. We got Alex Toledo. You can follow him at Tropical Blanket. If you're with us on the stream on playback, this is where you should have been. Actually, this is why we tell you to join us during the games. I vacated the stream briefly because I was banished, because I said on there that we could start the post game show when the Heat were up 17. I was called out immediately on that, and of course the Pistons came back to tie. The Heat could play a clutch game with the local JCC, seriously. Like, they let everybody back into these games. But the story of the night, and it's the play of the night. You want to just get to it early? Let's just do it. Let's go to the play of the night. Lynette was on there, the stream with us. Go ahead.
And now it's time for the Insurance by Lynette play of the night, sponsored by InsuranceByLynette.com and A Aggressive Insurance Agency. You can reach out to our friend Lynette at 954-581-8800. That's 954-581-8800 or InsuranceByLynette.com. That's InsuranceByLynette.com with two N's and two T's. Your best play for auto insurance, homeowners insurance, condo insurance, life insurance, or a retirement program. Reach out to Lynette at InsuranceByLynette.com.
All right, so let's set the scene here a little bit. The Heat bungled the last few minutes. I don't know what Terry Rozier was doing on some of those possessions. Needs to have better awareness of time and clock, all that stuff. And then Detroit had a chance to win the game, and they didn't. Miami gets a rebound, ball's in Rozier's hands. Spo had a timeout to use, I believe. He didn't use it. He doesn't usually use it in those situations. The ball finds Bam from, 32 feet, I think, something along those lines. This was not your standard variation three. Bam Adebayo waited until the very last play of the game to extend his three-point streak to three. The three-point streak is now at three, and he got swarmed. And the Heat survived 104 to 101. Spoelstra said he likes those above-the-break threes. That's where he shot it from. Obviously, Bam has a trained eye from that. He finishes on the game with 20 points, 16 rebounds. But let's just be flat out on this. They couldn't lose this game. They could not. Brady, I'll go to you first on it. Like, I mean, I know you don't have Jimmy. I get it. I understand, you know, that you're shorthanded. You're playing a Detroit team that, I mean, they were honoring all their old players today. But, I mean, they're playing like the corpse of Evan Fournier against you. Like, this is not a game that you could lose when you're up 17. And, honestly, he bailed him out. I mean, there's another guy who bailed him out throughout the game. But in the last 3 seconds, Bam saved them from what would have been an embarrassing defeat, which would have pushed them another game behind Philadelphia and Cleveland, two teams that they see in the rest of this road trip.
Yeah, I don't care that Jimmy wasn't playing. Like, this was a game you could not lose, especially considering the fact that they just lost to Washington. You could not have a loss to Washington and a loss to Detroit within a week when you're trying to make a push to get out of the play-in. So, yeah, we'll talk about Duncan, the other guy, and a few that kind of really saved them. But I mean, this has basically been Bam prepping for this moment, like the last few games. The fact that he keeps taking this exact shot over and over again, and we've had the Bam discussion from three in the past, and it's like, corner threes were never going to move the needle. They just weren't. Like, they were, it's the closest three, but it's just not equipped for like a big man just to stand around and take those shots consistently. If you want to move the needle, you take that above the break three, where you're able to kind of stretch the defense, pull a big man away from the rim, play a little pick and pop potentially in the near future, like all of that stuff. And the fact that he's getting more and more comfortable with it, it's important. It's a good thing to see. So, I mean, this is a perfect ending for a game like this because it was ugly. And the fact that now that the discussion has shifted away from what it was going to be, like if that went into OT and they scraped out a win,
God,
we were not going to be talking about that.
What if they scraped out a loss, Brady? Like they were very well could have scraped out a loss. They absolutely mm-hmm. could have. I mean, they were playing their best five down the stretch. The only five guys they could trust. I love that comment from Mike T, by the way, that we just threw up there. And we appreciate the comments that come in here on the live streams before they go to the podcast feed. Cause I was at all three of those games. And, it felt very much like that. Bosch versus the Spurs, Bosch versus the Blazers, Bosch versus Atlanta. If you don't remember the circumstances of all those games, the Spurs one was special because of who they were playing at the time. And obviously they had a rivalry with them. The Blazers one was a game where, if you remember, LeBron came off the bench to tackle Bosch after that. That was a good atmosphere in Portland, and Bosch making that shot was huge as he was kind of proving himself as a clutch player on that team. And the one in Atlanta always jumps out to me because that was I believe a triple overtime game where they didn't have LeBron or Dwayne. And that was the game that Terrell Harris had 13 rebounds and Mario Chalmers was helping Bosch carry it to the end. But Bosch made three of those from about the same place that Bam did tonight. Bam's was a little bit further out, but we make that comparison of Bam to Bosch so much in terms of the way that the fans view them, kind of proving themselves here and doing it when the other stars are out. And I actually thought Alex Bam had a pretty pedestrian game until then. I mean, he had the one possession where he had like four rebounds on the same possession, which padded the numbers a little bit. I mean, but going into that, he had 17 and 16, which, again, you typically would take it. But he's clearly got to be the best player on the floor against that team. And he wasn't for most of the night. But then to make that shot, you're right, the narratives all blow out the window at this point because he made the clutch shot.
For sure. But I also think, like, I get that line of thinking because, of course, right, like he's your second best player and you expect him to step up with a lot more shots. And he didn't really do that. Like, he didn't take a lot more shots, but he did finish 9 of 13. He gave you 17 rebounds. He gave you 3 assists. You know, the part that you do, you know, takes, you know, some umbrage with is the 3 turnovers along with the 3 assists. So that's what you can pick on. And yeah, like, if you want him to be more aggressive, I get that line of thinking. But at the same time, like, you had Terry doing his thing for most of this game. You had Duncan, who I'm sure we're going to talk about soon. So I'll hold off on him. But he was fantastic. And then Jaime got going later on in this game, finished with 15. Like, I think there was enough going on right around them. And so I think Bam just kind of played a really efficient game, didn't try to do too much. And other than the turnovers, I really think he had a nice game. And holy crap, man. Like you said before, this is why we tell you guys to watch on Playback. Of course, I'm going to say it here, playback.tv/5RSN, or download the app. You can watch the game with us. That was a great moment, man. I'm glad I was on for that. I just lost my mind because when they first got the rebound, there was somebody, I think it was Ray Ray or Matt, said, call the timeout. And I said, screw that. Don't call the timeout. Just go for the win. And for Bam, of all people, to hit not just a three, but a deep three like that to extend the streak, which I completely forgot about until you mentioned it just now, Ethan. Like, what a moment. I was not expecting that whatsoever. And just so much better than going to overtime. Yeah, thank you, Bam.
Thank you, Bam. Exactly. We don't need overtime on a Sunday afternoon in Detroit when the team's trying to get to Philadelphia for a game tomorrow night. Heat 305 mentions Bam had another game winner against the Nets in Miami 2 years ago. He did. But if you remember that, that was like – that play was set up. That was – he was kind of on the elbow towards the post. And it was a turnaround jumper, and we made a big deal of it at the time. And Jimmy was out at that point also. But this is different because, to me, what I like about this is instinctual. Like, this is Spo never calls timeout there, by the way. I mean, I've had conversations with him about his philosophy there. He just doesn't believe in that to set up a play. And it's probably better that they didn't, because I have a feeling that it would have been bungled if they had with the way that some things were going late in that game. So to just kind of let it free flow. But we, you know, to have Bam and his first instinct is to understand the clock there and to understand there were no other options. And sometimes we see Bam hesitate. And so it's huge for him. Obviously it's huge for him and it's huge for the team. And it's big in terms of them believing in him on the nights that Jimmy is out. We've just obviously just gotten the news about Tyler over the past 24 hours. And so they've gotten the news about Tyler and they kind of understand how they need to move on without him to a certain degree. And so for Bam to do that was enormous. And they flashed the standings before that. And again, if you're trying to get out of the play-in, like, you can't drop this game. Like, you're chasing Indiana. You're chasing Orlando. The Knicks have gotten Anunoby back, so you're not catching them at this point because I think they're 16-2 when OG plays this year. Cleveland is free-falling, and Mitchell is going to miss some time. He may even miss the game against the Heat on Wednesday. He's not going to play on Monday, but you're still so far back of them. Like, you can't lose ground against Indiana, Philadelphia, and Orlando. You just can't. Like, you've got to keep them in striking distance here. And now you play, you know, Philly next, obviously without Embiid. Tobias Harris is not going to play Monday night either. So you couldn't go in there with a loss. And we don't know Jimmy's status, although we'll talk about it a little bit later in the show. We want to get to the gamer of the night. We will in a second, but I want to stay at the end of that game. My one issue at the end of that game, because the ball is going to be in his hands more often, especially with Tyler out now. Brady, what was Terry Rozier doing in the last 3 minutes of that game? Because I don't know. It felt like he was playing like it was like the middle of the first quarter instead of running clock and making sure that good shots were taken.
Yeah, I mean, first, like, if we're going to hit the positive, I mean, credit to him for hitting Bam on that trailing three. Like, if he understood that, like, okay, Spo's not calling a timeout, so I have to play faster and dart down the court, and he got down there and drew in the defense a little bit, so it kind of opened up that Bam shot. But 100%, like, before that point, he was kind of playing at that, like, nonchalant mode that he plays in the first three quarters, where he kind of felt like he had the one where I think it was like 10 seconds on the shot clock. He had that leaning right wing three where he kind of just shot it up randomly, and it was like, I don't know. It just felt like it was just kind of all over the place, where it needs to be a little more under control. But this is a game where they're lacking players. They're lacking on-ball players, that it felt like they wanted him to just try to figure some things out. But every time that they went to the guy, you know, I'm not going to talk about a ton before we get to it, but Duncan, the offense looked so much cleaner and they got so much better looks, that when it was bogging down to Terry in isolation, that will never be this team. There's a lot of teams in this league that their closing offense is isolation basketball and kind of bogging it down and kind of working it in that way. No matter what, that's not Miami. That'll never be Miami. That's just not the way that they play. They're just not good at it. Like, even if shots fall at times when they do it, it's just not them. So, I mean, they were able to escape, but I agree with you. I don't think they want to play that style, but they're able to get away with it in a game against Detroit, in a game when they're without so many guys.
All right, Alex, load it up, because we need to talk about the other guy.
And now on Five on the Floor, it's time for the Gamer of the Night, sponsored by Rock Esports Center, the place to eat, drink, and play all day. Host your next birthday party with them. Located at 15305 South Dixie Highway in Palmetto Bay, they've got a 5,500 square foot state-of-the-art center equipped with all the high-end power. Play all day passes available for just $25, but if you mention Five Reasons, it's just $20. So mention Five Reasons or 5RSN, you get to play all day for $20. And now, the Gamer of the Night.
Honestly, guys, I don't know what we're watching. I'm kind of at that point. This is what Duncan Robinson did today. By the way, in the state where he played college basketball, where he only got to play college basketball there after having to go to Williams College. Okay, this is how low down on the totem pole Williams College is as a basketball school. I went to Johns Hopkins University. We used to play Williams College, and my roommates were 6'2 and 6'3, and that was the center and the power forward. Duncan Robinson was playing Division III basketball. He ends up in Michigan. He's an undrafted free agent. He makes himself into a shooter. Spo says in his first couple of years, this is the best shooter in the world right now. We're all laughing at him. He has that ascent. He gets the contract. Every Heat fan wants him gone. everyone, attach picks, get rid of this guy. He's not playable anymore. He can't defend. He can't pass. He can't do any of these things. And no, he was not the same player he is now. He had 34 and 5. He made every clutch shot they needed up until Bam made his. He had his 1,003 today, 1,000th, fastest to 1,000, not to 200, not to 300, not to 400. You talk about sustainability, 1,000 threes. I talked to Duncan about 3 weeks ago. He says, I'm not going to get to 1,000 before Steph did or any of the rest of them did. He says, just because of the volume that they're getting. He got there ahead of Buddy Hield. He got there ahead of Steph. 1,000 threes, okay, in a Heat uniform. He's still just 29 years old. He doesn't turn 30 until next month. And when his contract comes up again, he's got the partial guarantee next year. Heat fans are going to be begging for the Heat to extend him at a high number. I mean, if you want to talk about it all coming together in one day, the only shame today, it's great that Bam made the shot. I kind of wanted Duncan to make it. Like, this was the perfect day for Duncan to close it with that. And Lynette mentions on here in our chat, the four-point play was the play of the game. That game was getting away. He makes that three. He gets fouled. They get the free throw afterwards. Forget the starting debate. To me, that's over. And we'll talk about Hero a little bit later in the podcast because I know people are asking who haven't followed the news over the weekend. But Duncan is their starting two the rest of the regular season. You let him get comfortable. You play through him. His confidence is soaring right now. It was like a perfect day for him in that building, in that state.
No, I mean, he's been fantastic, man. He's been one of their most reliable players when he started. And, you know, I just think he's been fantastic, man. And every time you think you know what he can do, it's like, oh, yeah, he's right back to just scorching you from three. Still gave you three field goals from, you know, inside the arc. Also gave you, I think, 5 assists. Right. So like all the skill development that we've known about and has been, you know, happening for the past couple of seasons has come to this point where like he can really give you a lot of things and you can't just take away one thing from him. And that is the problem. Now it's made him so much more dynamic and it's really just been a godsend for this anemic Heat offense, especially without Tyler and Kevin Love right now, who had a nice chunk of importance for their shooting and their offense. And Duncan has really stepped up, man. Like, I just think he's been pretty reliable. And again, the skill development is just amazing. And we've talked about this on other pods, the arc he's had in his career, a very weird one, not even getting into like, you know, going from a D3 school to a D1 school and all of that. And what's happened in his NBA career, the ups and downs, it's just been wild. And for him to come out on the other side like this, it's just been so impressive, man. I'm really happy for him. And yeah, that 4-point play was huge. You know, the Duncan Bam 2-man game was, again, heavy throughout this game. And maybe it was a little bit different at times because you had kind of Bam playmaking for him up top. And I'd like that they can still go to that. I'm a big fan of when they go to Bam up top as a playmaker. And I think that's another way that you can utilize their 2-man game. It doesn't always have to be the same spots. You can kind of go inverse with it. You can do it from a lot of different areas on the floor. It's probably easily their most dynamic action, right? Because you can get to it in so many different ways. And I think Duncan has just become such a staple in their offense. And I'm happy that he's producing at this rate, man. And, you know, happy birthday, Duncan Robinson, and actual happy birthday to Terry Rozier, whose birthday, you know, it is today.
By the way, Terry Rozier, just again, because I was critical of him for the last few minutes, but Brady made the point, and then we'll cycle back to Duncan here. He had 17.6 rebounds, 9 assists, no turnovers again. It looked like he was trying to commit one at the end of the game, but he didn't. The assist to turnover ratio for Terry is outrageous. I talked to him before the game the other day about it. Maybe we'll play some of that clip on the podcast because I don't think we've actually run any of that. I talked to Terry about that and also about the lobs that he's throwing. And Van Lee mentions this here on the chat about feeding Bam and him wanting to get Bam involved with some of those lobs, but you know, I talked about sort of the making the decisions about, you know, when to be more aggressive and risk a turnover. So probably would be worthwhile for us to put that on the podcast this week. But even 8 of 20 from the field, the other stuff was efficient. But, you know, we talk about Duncan and the shooting and all that and the clutch shooting, and he's kind of impervious to pressure at this point in certain cases. He missed a couple threes about a week ago, and everybody was saying this is why he shouldn't close games. But if you look at the overall numbers of him in the fourth quarter this year, he's their best fourth quarter shooter. He's our best fourth quarter shooter. He's also been, and we talked about this on Playback. Hey, it's Ethan Skolnick for Five on the Floor and the Five Reasons Sports Network. We know that the Miami Heat, they're typically pretty careful with their money. They don't overpay for players, kind of keep it in the range. But there have been mistakes. Think back to Hassan Whiteside, James Johnson, Deion Waiters, to name a few. Well, you don't want to make a mistake with your hard-earned cash. You don't want to get a service or a product that's overpriced or underperforms. That's why we recommend Harry's. Harry's razors, I use them. Why do I use them? Because, well, I can't really grow a beard. It takes me forever. It looks ridiculous. So I want to make sure that it's shaved properly, so I look somewhat presentable when I'm going to the Heat games. You can check out Harry's as well. German engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. Customizable delivery options for scheduled refills as low as $2, half of what you pay for the other big brands. And you can get a 5-blade razor, a weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/5. That's right. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/5. Again, that's harrys.com/5 for a $3 trial set.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
He's been their most reliable player this year. Like somebody was saying, he's been their best. I'm not ready to say Jimmy's hasn't been their best player, but Duncan's been their most reliable player. Duncan has played more games already than Jimmy is going to play this season. He's played more games already than Tyler is going to play this season. He's been available for 61 games. Availability is an ability. Like, you know, he's out there every night. And kind of what you're going to get from him. But Brady, I want to focus on one other play. There was the pass he made where he kind of got trapped by the baseline, and he made that backhanded pass to Jaquez as a cutter. Him, again, figuring out solutions when he's not in the best position, to me, has been his biggest growth this year.
100%. And the play before was the play where he was in that deep corner and just saved them with that crazy shot over the top, and it feels like he's just their bailout option all the time. Then the following play, you said he's in the same spot on the floor, except this time he drives baseline, try to bail them out once again. Seems like he's done for and trapped, and all of a sudden, credit to Jaime because he had a really good cut there to kind of save him. But Duncan throwing a left-handed bounce pass in stride around a big man is like, it's just become normal for him. And not only because it being about the consistency, it's just, it feels like he once was a scripted player, and now it's gotten to the point where he's just read and react. He's just going to react to everything that you throw at him, coverages. If the last game he was kind of getting it in the inside the arc and he was making passes to Bam, he had a little bit, couple of shots in the lane. the counter from the Pistons is, okay, we're going to throw more size on him. We're going to throw Isaiah Stewart and Durant on that action and basically flatten you out and try to just take it away. And Duncan pretty much says, okay, I'm going to play more high pick and roll. I'm going to play farther out. I'm going to just shoot over the top of you consistently. And it got to a point where it was like, okay, they were out of counters. We don't really have anything else for him because it feels like everything we throw at him, he's just able to kind of just find something else to do. And then there was the play, the last play of the second quarter, where it was Terry Rozier had the ball. There was like, they were holding for one shot. Duncan screens and slips, and two of them sprinted Duncan. Like, they both just full out running him. He like taps the ball back to Terry, ends up in a DeLon floater. And it just shows the attention he's seeing and the things that he's creating, that it was like, I feel like everybody was looking around in that fourth quarter when things were going south. And it was like, okay, when's Duncan checking in? When is he going to go to the scorer's table? Because everything looks better when he's on the floor offensively. And it feels like they don't really have a direction when he's not out there in a game like this, when he's without Jimmy. So he just continues to be great. Like, he's just, it's been shooting the ball at a really high level. The stuff he's doing inside the arc, there was that, we were watching the playback, I think it was in the third quarter, when he had like a shot off the off bank, off glass, where he just randomly just does shots where it's like, okay, that's just normal nowadays. So, and then we were also talking about it, Ethan, you were making the point that it almost feels like he's getting more respect from officials, where he's not getting as many foul calls. I think it is a good point, because defensively, I feel like he's been good. Like, he's not a guy where we're having the conversation after games, even after losses, where we're saying he's getting picked on. We have not had that comment once. Like, and he's closed a lot of these games that they're not really picking on him. They're able to cut. He's using his size to his advantage. He's not using his hands like he used to. He's moving his feet, and he's been defending at a pretty decent level. He's really good in that zone. So credit to him. But having a game where he's able to put kind of a 30 piece on the board, I feel like is good for his confidence, and even if it's, you know, against a Detroit team.
Well, I mentioned this on playback, and it maybe, I don't know if you were on there, maybe you were and Alex wasn't, or maybe you both were, I can't remember. And this is purely eye test speculation, but I feel like the officials are giving him more benefit of the doubt on defense because they see him as a basketball player now. Officials have biases. They have biases. They have biases to the home team. They have biases to stars, and they have biases against, I mean, let's just be honest, like, slow, limited white guys. Like, they're not going to give them the benefit of the doubt in a lot of those situations, because, and Duncan has been a one, I should say, against specialists. Okay. And he's been a specialist throughout his career. He's not a specialist anymore. And I feel like them viewing him as a more well-rounded offensive basketball player is helping them, him on the defensive end. It's like that thing we always talk about with Bam. Okay. Where Bam's case for defensive player of the year will be helped by him being better offensively. It's stupid, okay? It shouldn't be like that, but the voters have certain perceptions and biases that play into that. And I just think that there, I think that Duncan has become, like, we don't view him as, he's not Davis Bertans anymore. You know what I mean? Like, he's not that kind of player. Like, he's a legitimate starting two guard in this league. And we'll get to the injury report in a second, where we'll get more into it. But Alex, I want to go to this, because this is going to be the other topic that's discussed a lot today. We don't have another podcast before the game on Monday night. Patty Mills played 10 minutes tonight, was 0-4 from the floor, all threes, a minus 13. I know we don't do the individual, but the only reason I'm mentioning it is because there was a lot of talk about how their numbers were very good with Patty on the floor, for whatever it was worth in those three games. Like, they were a big plus. DeLon Wright tonight, after I think sitting the last five, he played the Sacramento game and not after that. 21 points, 21 minutes, 3 of 7 from the floor, 3 rebounds, 2 steals, a minus 2 in 6 minutes. I thought DeLon's minutes were good, and he got a lot of them. So, like, is there a path now to him playing? Because there didn't seem to be until today when Jimmy was out.
I think there is a path now. As far as whether we go down that path or not, I'm not as sure, just because Poe is sometimes hard to predict. Like, every time you think you see where he's going, he might go a different way, right? It's kind of what happened with Patty in the first place. Like, I feel like we all would have thought DeLon would be first in line to play there. And then, of course, you know, there's extenuating circumstances with Tyler being out, and I think Spo was just kind of starved for shooting there, and Love, you know, like I said, factors into that as well, not being able to have a spacing big out there other than Bam, now that he's a stretch big. No, but in our reality, like, I think, you know, that's pretty much the only reason Patty was playing, not to disrespect him in any way. Like, to be honest, he still zips around the court pretty well. And you can see that when he's out there. Like, you can run him in some of those sets you do for Duncan. Not to the same, you know, degree, not to with the same level of emphasis, but you can do that. The problem is when the threes are not falling, it's like, ooh, he's not giving you too much else out there. Like, he's decent at moving the ball out of those sets, but you need the shooting to be there. Because it's not like Duncan, where he's also 6'8 with a 7-foot wingspan and who is now giving you, you know, finishing at the basket as well as playmaking. Like, that's not really the case with Patty. He's really small, and it's very noticeable in person too, just from watching the games. He's somebody who could easily be picked at, I think, more than anybody else just because of his size. And, you know, even though he's a little bit older, like, I think he moves decently well for, like, a, what is he, 34-year-old? Like, he still zips around that court. But, yeah, the shooting I don't think has been consistent enough with him. I still think he can really shoot that ball. But I in my opinion, I think DeLon should be playing over him. And I think you can make the case over Haywood, but it's a little bit tough there because I think Haywood is kind of the tiebreaker with them too, is the size, where they just, like, they're already kind of a small team as it is. So, hey, Spo just goes with the guy with a little bit more length and strength. But DeLon gives you more on offense than Haywood does. So I think there's a path to him playing. You just got to play him over one of those two guys currently. And also, just there's a lot of weird stuff going on right now. Like that second quarter with those lineups where they had, you know, Patty, DeLon, and Thomas. And just in general, like, there's been a lot of Patty and Thomas together. Like, it's hard to get representative samples of what
would separate like. The two of them. He's got like Bryant and Mills attached to him. We talk, it's just so funny because we always talk about they don't have enough at this position or at the point guard spot, and then he ends up playing them together. He used to do this he would do this with Drew Smith and Kyle earlier this year, like, and you're just like, why isn't he at least separating these guys a little bit? I mean, we'll get the injury report in a second, but Brady, I thought DeLon's game was solid, and he rushed a couple of layups, I thought, or at least one of them, for sure he did. But it does feel like there's more there to tap into than there is with Patty. I mean, we're having Patty on the podcast on Tuesday, so we're being very polite here. And I see the value in Patty as a shooter. I do. And I see the value in having his sort of his court intelligence out there also. But he's not going to be a decision maker down the stretch of games anyway. So if that's the case, if I'm going to choose a specialist, I would choose the defender.
It's funny because in the past, like that, when they've made these decisions, DeLon is always the Heat choice. Like, he's the build that they usually lean to. I feel like when we used to talk about, like, even if it was Boye or Drew Smith, like in this instance, Boye is like the Patty Mills and Drew Smith is like the low-key DeLon Wright that does less like flashy stuff but does more of the underground defensively stuff. So it's like, now this is like a situation where it's like these players are much more advanced than the examples I just gave. But like DeLon, I thought came out of nowhere again, like after sitting all these games, and defended really well, like guarding a guy that is much bigger in Cade Cunningham. But like DeLon has size to him and he's able to kind of defend above his position. He's able to do all that stuff where he had a couple bursts to the basket too. You mentioned some of the finishes where he rushed, but like he still has moments where he's able to get to the basket. Like, and not to discredit Patty because he's had games where he shot well, but like Patty around the rim does like this weird like flip animation where he does an underhand layup, and it's like it's a different thing. He does like a scoop, a quick scoop, and DeLon's more of like he's able to kind of be more physical. It feels like around the rim and do a lot of that type of stuff, but he's just solid. Like, he's just, you know what you're getting from DeLon when you put him out there, and it's usually the guy that they lean to. And I feel like he's just always disrupting defensively. They were kind of moving him around in the zone. Like, usually he's up top, but they had him kind of on the bottom of that zone. I think the adjustment, Ethan, is maybe not playing him with Haywood. Like, it kind of probably has to be one or the other. Like, play, it's fun to watch defensively when they're both out there, but you cannot sustain that offensively with those two out there because you're kind of have two guys off the ball that you could just help off of.
Well, play him with Caleb where you get some of the defense, mm-hmm. but you also get some pop offensively. Or when Jovic just gets back. Exactly. The Haywood thing to me, I'm less in on it than I was earlier in the season. I don't, he's not making that three consistently enough at this point. I would rather see what DeLon has at this stage, than kind of for, I understood Haywood starting today because obviously he didn't have Jovic and he wants to keep Caleb off the bench. So he had somebody who could come off the bench with some offense.
You know what Haywood brings already.
You do, and he can plug him in, and I think he'll be fine. But I think what's been positive about DeLon is that he was put out there in two situations and kind of asked to sink or swim, right? Like the Sacramento game, no Jimmy. I mean, that was a tough game. He played really well, I thought, in that game. And then you sit him for a week and a half, and you're playing a guy you just brought in off the street who's like 35 years old over him. And obviously, if he was sulking, it didn't show today because and Brady, you mentioned he just will not be screened, like which I like because this team allows itself to get screened too often. And he fights through it. All right, let's get to the injury report now because I know there's a lot of news everybody wants.
And now it's time for the official Five on the Floor injury report, sponsored by our friend Eric Rubenstein, the personal injury attorney. Born and raised in Lauderdale, Florida, lives in Miami, went to St. Thomas. He's a South Florida guy and a huge Miami Heat fan. But the important thing is he can help you get your money that you deserve when something happens to you. So reach out to our guy, Eric Rubenstein. Again, ericrubenstein.com, or ask about me. I got you on Instagram. And now, the injury report.
All right, this is a long one. Let's start here for those of you who have not been paying a lot of attention this weekend. I recommend that you listen to the podcast that Greg and I did on Tyler Hero yesterday. It's going to be up on the YouTube channel this evening as well, but it's already up on the podcast feeds. Essentially, Anthony Chang did the hard part here. He did the good reporting from the Herald where Tyler getting the plasma, getting the injections essentially to speed recovery. This foot injury that apparently was a rookie injury that I don't really remember. We thought that the knee was what was bothering him until about a couple weeks ago. It turns out it's been the foot all along here. And Eric Spoelstra was asked again today about it. Obviously, he's going to continue to get asked. And he again said there was no timetable, and they're hoping to have him before the end of the regular season. So Tyler's played 36 games this season. Doesn't look like he's going to get to 40. Greg and I made the point, I think both of us had been waiting, and I think you guys had as well, for him to come back and put him back in the starting lineup. I don't know if you guys are where we're at, but Greg and I are both of the mind now that Duncan Robinson is your starter for the balance of the regular season. And if Tyler comes back, then he gets a role off the bench and tries to plug in that way. Not to say that he'll never be a starter for this team at this point in the playoffs, if they obviously need more offensive juice or something changes there. You can't count on him to come back at this stage, and Duncan's rolling too good. And we said that before Duncan had 30 today. So to me at this stage, this is what was a debate the whole season that I was fighting. I'm no longer fighting it. Duncan Robinson's just starting too. Before we move on to the Love and Butler and Jovic injuries, do you guys have any thoughts on this?
I mean, I'll say real quickly that I kind of said before, like I always thought Tyler would kind of re-enter the starting lineup after all of this, but I think it does hit a certain point where if you're up against playoff time, where it's kind of at that final hour and we're still kind of looking around wondering if he's going to return or even if he returns around that time, it's tough to just throw him in the mix and just say go into the playoffs and figure it out. Not to say that they've just figured everything out, because not everything has looked great consistently with this current group, but there has to be some form of consistency and rhythm. And it's not like this is the same team as last year. You have Terry Rozier starting. You have a new guy in the mix. You have Nikola Jovic that's actually playing this time around. This isn't one of those things where you can kind of throw in a guy and it's like, okay, just do what you did before. Just figure it out. Like it does feel like they kind of are hitting that time of the year. And being the fact that Duncan is the guy that's really the one that's popping makes this even more difficult. So I'm kind of there with you. It feels like it depends on the situation. And Ethan, you hit on the part, you know, on a playback when you were talking about the cardio element of this, where it's like, this isn't the hand. This is kind of a situation where we don't know what kind of shape he's going to be in when he does return, because obviously the foot could be bothering him, could you know, take a longer ramp up than maybe the hand would have. So it's tough to really evaluate right now, but I'm kind of there with you that if this kind of prolongs, it feels like they're going to have to just consistently roll with the starting lineup. It's not the worst thing to have an 8-man rotation and one of the three guys off the bench being Tyler Hero.
Well, the three guys off the bench could be, if Tyler gets back in the mix. I mean, you could have a 4-man bench, and we'll talk about one of these guys in a second, of Love, Jaquez, Martin, and Hero. I mean, there are not a lot of teams in the league that could compete with that bench. Alex, I'll say this. Let's say it's not going to happen because he's not going to be evaluated for a week to 2 weeks. But let's say Tyler was back in a week. Let's say it was a week from now. Would you put him back in the starting lineup?
I don't know. I think if you're asking me, I would probably just bring him off the bench. Like, I think I wouldn't be surprised completely if Spo just threw him back in if there was a decent amount of time left in the regular season. But if it's just like a couple of games, I just don't think it's enough. Like, I if you know, 10, 15 games, right? Like a ramp up period. I think that would make more sense. But at the same time, I already felt like, just to kind of get my personal biases out there, I felt like it was going to be tough to play through to work through what a Rozier Hero backcourt would look like in a lot of playoff matchups, where I feel like it would just get endlessly picked on. And I know they would still try to do it right with Duncan in there. I just think, you know, Duncan just has more size at this point. A Rozier Hero backcourt is really small. So it was always like, I could see the offensive upside, like them playing off of each other. I don't hate that, but the defensive stuff. And I feel like that's why it's kind of a convenient time almost for Spo to just be like, well, look, you've been out so far. We don't want to like rush this thing. Let's just like ramp you back up off the bench. You're still going to get plenty of shots. You're still going to get plenty of time. And it like doesn't hurt anybody's feelings, right? You know what I mean? Like it feels like it's almost worked out in a way where Spo can just kind of go to that if he really wants to. But if, you know, you told me Tyler comes back towards the end of the season and he's starting again, that wouldn't shock me in the least. Like, we've seen that Spo is more than willing to start them together. But if you're asking me what I would do, I would just keep Duncan in there right now. Like, he's just so good as a starter. And I've always felt like you can maybe replicate some of that impact off the bench if you just play him with Jimmy and Bam more often than not, or at least one of the two. You know, obviously Bam, like him and Bam, their two-man game is something else. But so I just feel like it makes sense to just keep the starting lineup as it is. And then maybe Jovic is the guy who, depending on the matchup, is kind of the X factor position, right? And we've talked about that in other pods. But I think as of this point, I would guess that, you know, that's the way to go. You just keep it with, you keep it rolling, man, because there's a nice balance with Terry's game and Duncan's game too. And
yeah,
we already know that Tyler can do it off the bench. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see how they handle it.
Well, it reminds me a little of the bubble season where they had none, or then it was Dragic with Duncan. And I feel like at this point, the flow to it is better. I'll say this, you know, Tyler may end up getting more shots per minute coming off the bench than he does being reinserted into this starting lineup, where, again, now you have Terry, who is taking a lot. I mean, Terry took 20 shots today. Now, again, no Jimmy, no Tyler, but he took 20 shots today. He didn't get to the line today. But there's going to be volume with Terry that there was not with Lowry. And that makes, you know, because we're begging Lowry to shoot. You don't have to beg Terry to shoot, especially not lately when he's gotten more comfortable there. I think we're past it. I mean, I asked you about 1 week. If it's 2 weeks, it's definitely no. 3 weeks, which is what it looks like it's going to be. 4 weeks. It's past the point of no return, in my view. And I think at some point they just need to decide, this is our group. As long as we have it healthy, we're going to go with it. I still think the starting lineup needs a little work. The numbers on it are not great. But again, then Jovic becomes, like you said, the X factor, where if it's not working, then maybe you try Caleb there, or you try Hawkins there, or maybe even you try Highsmith there. But I just think the backcourt at this point, it needs to be Duncan and Terry and just roll. That's where I would go with it. The other guys we wanted to talk about today, Jimmy, I've heard this is not serious, and I think he's going to play Monday night in Philly. I think, okay? With him, you never know. I had heard some consideration of him actually playing today, which leads me to believe that he's close to playing tomorrow. He hasn't been sent home for the trip or anything like that. There's a lot more there's meaning to these two games, in Philly in particular, and then in Cleveland. So I would anticipate he plays Monday night. Again, I'm not going to guarantee it. As far as Kevin goes, you know, I saw Kevin working on the court prior to the game, the last home game. He's not that far away. But as of now, I haven't heard he's going to join the team. So on this trip, they've done that before. So the idea that he didn't make the beginning of the trip doesn't mean he's not going to make any of the trip. And of course, I think he would like to play in Cleveland. He missed a game in Cleveland recently. He still has a lot of friends, family, others there. And I think if he can play, he'll try to play. And I do think, as even though Thomas Bryant gave them some representative minutes, we've talked about this a lot, how much they need Kevin Love back. And I think that's going to be relatively soon for him to come back. Jovic, the hamstring, we don't have a ton of information left on that. They won't push that if it's a hamstring injury. Hamstring injuries and groin injuries, they are typically the most careful with. So I wouldn't be stunned if he's out Monday night as well. All right, we did this for 40 minutes today, which was probably more than this game was worth. But Bam saved it, so we appreciate everybody joining. We had a big crowd here on Lives, so very thanks for that. By the way, the kids are running the kids are running everything tomorrow. I'm out and Greg's out, so you getting a Brady Alex live stream, so they can just trash the two of us the entire time. Greg and I both have spots. It's younger than me. This is gonna be like a 4-hour podcast with just the two of them. Because anytime I tell the two of them, just 15 to 20 minutes, get it over with. 43 minutes. All right, have a good night, everybody.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy 5 or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.